You're listening to the Net Mums podcast with me, Wendy Gollidge.
And me, Alison Perry. Coming up on this week's show...
Theodore, because he's six now, he does stuff to try and wind us up. And I'm like, I remember doing that. Like, I remember just like humming really loudly. Like my dad would take us to... And I was too old for this crap. I must have been like 17. And I'd be like,
But before all of that... Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode. How are you today, Alison?
I'm good. You know what, Wendy? I feel like I have reached a milestone in parenting that I didn't even know existed. My 14-year-old this morning, I came downstairs and she was busy making herself breakfast, but not just like any old breakfast. She was making herself a bacon and avocado sandwich with the air fryer. She had just gone to the fridge, gone to the air fryer, sorting it out, didn't ask me for any help. And
oh,
in comparison, I know, I'm totally winning. And in comparison, my 6-year-olds are like fighting over which colour of plate they get and making me cut their toast up into like, it has to be 4 slices for one and 2 for the other. And that's quite soul destroying. So it's nice to know that there is light at the end of the tunnel.
I spent 6 months making Peppa Pig shaped toast.
How do you do that?
You buy a cutter.
Oh, pig shaped. I thought you were getting artistic.
And then you sing the theme tune for the rest of the day and want to kill your child because you're like... Anyway, give us the very showbiz intro to our lovely guest, please.
Well, today we are joined by the wonderful Vogue Williams, mum of three, wife to Spencer Matthews, and presenter of my Therapist Ghosted Me podcast and Never Live It Down podcast. Her book, Big Mouth, comes out in May, and we can't wait, because if there's one person who comes with a dose of honesty telling us how it is, it's Vogue Williams. Vogue, a warm welcome to the Net Mums podcast.
Hello, and thank you for getting the Peppa Pig theme tune into my head now. I can't wait.
Sorry. I've got to say that despite having three kids, you seem to have your shit together. What is the secret?
I definitely don't. I've actually had a morning as well today. Like, you know, those mornings.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, I can't keep on top of everything. I'm just like trying to organize camps and just, I'm like, why do they have to make the camp forms so difficult? It's so annoying. So I've had a morning of just life admin and not having everything together and a couple of tantrums thrown in. But, you know, I feel okay now because they're all got skill.
I mean, that's reassuring to know. I'm sorry that you've had a stressful morning, but it's quite reassuring. But I've heard you talk before about how you get stuck into any job that needs doing at home. And you worked on construction sites, didn't you, when you were a graduate? How do you and Spencer divide up tasks at home? Like, is there a role reversal situation where you fix the broken radiator and he does the school run?
In the nicest way possible, I would say I fix the broken radiator and I do the school run. I would say I do 80%
of what goes. Most of the homes in the UK.
We've actually been having a slight little tiff about that this morning, about the stuff that I do. Yeah. I've had enough today.
One of my friends said last week she'd sat down, she was really pissed about it. So she sat down and worked out how many extra hours of just general stuff she did. It was 26 hours a week. And she, they both worked full time. And she sat down and worked it out. And it was things like organising play dates and doing the online shop and all the stuff. And he's a pretty hands-on dad. He does all the school runs, has loads of stuff. And she was like, I'm still doing 26 hours more kids stuff a week than you.
Because there's so much kid stuff to organise, though. And in particular, like with three, it's like you're trying to organise. It's like, oh no, they're probably having a play date and my kids can't because I haven't organised it because we don't have the time to do it. They've got some serious social lives, though. Like, I don't know when like too many, that one activity is too many activities. Like, we do a lot of activities, but if you're not doing the activities, you're just kind of wandering around the park for hours. I'm so with you.
And my 6-year-old twins, we got an email last week saying that there was going to be a new free yoga class after school on a Wednesday with only 30 places across the school. I have never signed them up for anything. I was like, an extra half hour at the end of a day on a Wednesday. Yes, please.
But no, yeah, even worse, my daughter's doing lacrosse after school today. And she came home on the first day of term. It's like, after the first one, she was like, Mummy, what's lacrosse? I was like, don't care. You're going. It gives me till 4:15 on a Thursday. Off you pop.
scrub.
She actually really liked it, but nevertheless, she was like, mum.
I don't remember doing anything like that when I was younger, though. Like, we just were, like, kind of sent out. You're like, bye, see you at 5 o'clock, see you at 6 o'clock when we were younger.
So what kind of sleepers are your kids? Mine were terrible, like proper bad. And I often wished I could say, Alexa, help my kids to sleep. What are yours like?
I do love that. I do rely a little bit sometimes on the Alexa, because sleep stories, which I did with Alexa, I wrote one for them. They are really helpful, but I love that for my kids. We love reading, and then they'll listen to that when they're going asleep. But to be honest, my kids aren't the worst. Obviously, we have moments. Like, Gigi comes in most nights, but I kind of don't wake up anymore. When they were babies, awful. Like anyone else, but that's just what happens. And I remember those, do you remember those mums that would be like, oh, my baby's sleeping through at 6 weeks, and you'd be like, how? What am I doing wrong?
They're just lying. I don't think they actually are. They've decided that through the night is midnight till 5 a.m. and they're considering that.
Otherwise, they put earplugs in. I don't know how it would happen. But mine now, I have to say, like, Ottie will wake us up around 6:15, but I don't really mind that because I'm asleep before 10 most nights, and Theodore will sleep. And then sometimes when he wakes up in the morning, I do hear him listening to the Alexa, because at least he knows how to do that then, to listen to that. And then I don't get woken up and he doesn't wake up Gigi, and the whole house is, it kind of runs nicer.
So how does the whole bedtime story thing work? Do you literally just say Alexa and it does it for you?
Well, my kids, it's like that noise in my house. My son is even like, Alexa, Alexa. When we were on the ski lift, when we went skiing, he get any time that it would like buzz his ski pass, he'd say, Alexa. I mean, like, it's not Alexa, the 2-year-old. So basically, you can ask Alexa to help my child get to sleep, and they have sleep stories. And one of them is mine, which is Tumbles and Stripes. And I worked with them with like a sleep expert, a sleep professor. I know, amazing. So she was kind of, there's certain ways to tell a story and how a story can wind a child down. Like, we've always used stories and books before bed. Like, we do have screens, but for like half an hour. And then the next hour is like calming down and books and beds. And then Alexa, when they go to sleep, because sometimes they just like to listen to something extra.
That's so nice. I think I might try that with my 6-year-olds tonight. I might get them to listen to this. I love the idea that it's being created to specifically get them feeling drowsy and ready for sleep. That sounds amazing.
That's what you want. But as well, like, now I haven't worked it out yet because I'm so not good at tech. But for people who are good at it, it can turn the lights down and everything. So like, even in your own bedroom, you can have an Alexa and it turns your lights down and stuff. And it does your shopping list. I haven't figured that out yet.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
I know. I'm like, Alexa, what's the weather like today? That's how far mine extends.
Alexa, set a timer is about as far as I get.
That's pretty good.
Now, you've spoken before about how important you think it is for you and your husband to have child-free time. And you've been away on child-free holidays, haven't you? And I'm really with you on this. Like, I think that's so important. But what do you say to anyone? Because I feel like I see quite a lot, like on social media, I get this said to me quite a lot. Why do you have kids if you don't want to spend time with them? So what would your response be to that kind of comment?
Oh, wow. Well, we spend a huge amount of time with our kids. Massive, massive amount of time with our kids. But I think it's really good to nurture your own relationship as well, because at the end of the day, you're all a big family and there is no family with the two of you if you're always fighting and you're not creating some time with each other. Now, saying that, we don't have loads of time together, but we just said, we were like, let's try and do like a couple of weekends a year where it's just you and I. And then we did one together. We ended up having a fight and not talking to each other for a whole day.
Oh, no.
I was like, this isn't how this is meant to go.
I think, though, there's a lot of pressure on those weekends. Like, if you do them, you kind of put a lot of pressure on yourself that this has to be perfect because we're away together. And then they do the thing that annoys you at home and you're like, oh no, you're still annoying.
I even think, though, like, you don't need to go away. It's like sometimes at the weekend, because our weekends are so full, we've got swimming, we've gymnastics, we've tennis, we've children's parties, that I'm like, like Svenny just texted me yesterday and he was like, do you want to go for a walk? And I was like, I would love to go for a walk, like just to go for a 45 minute walk just on your own out of the house. And it's just like even trying to remember to do stuff like that, because you do get caught up in the madness and everyone's house is like chaotic when there's kids and there's so much to be done all the time. It's nice to sit back and just be like, okay, let's think about ourselves for just like half an hour today.
So I read an interview and you talked about the importance of raising the kids to be kind. And
yeah,
I'm really with you on that. But then how do you balance that with the pressure to please people? I feel like I'm always doing the things that other people want me to do. How do you balance the two?
I don't know. It's kind of, do you know what? They go to a school and that's like very much their motto. It's about being kind. Like they come home and they have these badges and stuff. And I'm like, what did you do for someone today? And it's just about being kind to somebody. I don't know. I think they're too young to have kind of even thought about the people pleaser stage. I don't know how I would deal with that. You forget that they do things like that. Like I remember wanting to do things like that. You still have to remind yourself not to do it as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that that's kind of like a constant battle.
I find that really hard though, because like, you know, the whole thing about getting your kids to share with each other and take turns. And my instinct is to be like, share with your sister, take turns. And actually, there's also a flip side of that of, well, no, I want this thing. And just because you want it too, why should you, do you know what I mean? Like, why should I forgo my needs and what I want just to please you? And I find that a really tricky one to try and kind of navigate.
I think we find that with Otto because he's the youngest. And like, I don't know if this happens with everyone's family, but he kind of feels like the boss. And because he'll throw a complete stinker.
Oh, the youngest are always.
Oh,
that's just the rules.
Yeah, but like I find myself sometimes at tea, just let him have it for a minute. But then I'm like, actually, do you know what? No, that's Theodore's. And I can't just be trying to like calm Otto down by giving him everything he wants. And then Theodore doesn't get to have it. So I try not to do that with them as well. But like sometimes you just really want an easier life. But you kind of have to stick by your guns a little bit. And I feel bad because T's having to give up his little baby Furby thing. That's what he's in love with at the moment now. So
It's hard. It's really hard.
Yeah.
Now, you've been really open about struggling to maintain friendships as a busy mum. And I think that's like impossible to try to, you know, keep all the balls in the air, especially friendships. Have you tried to make time for friends since having that realisation? Or do you just prioritise home life and work?
I would say, depending how busy I am, definitely home life is the first priority, then work and then friends. But like, for instance, last weekend, I was at a play centre with two of my best friends and their son. And like, when we go away, so like that we're going away and they're coming away with us for a few days. And it's like, that's kind of how I see my friends. And with my friends in Ireland, thank God they all have kids. Like we all have kids around the same age. So they come up and we have play dates and that's kind of how we do it. But like, I'm trying to be much better because I did notice that I was always like, no, I can't do that, just because I was like, by the end of the day, I'm just going to be so tired. And I just, you have to kind of just be like, I'm going out for drinks next week. I know it's only early this week, but I'm going out for drinks next week with two friends. And I'm really looking forward to that. And I know in the day I'll be like, I don't want to go, but I'm going to afford it. You have to try and make time for yourself with your friends, because actually you're going to really enjoy yourself as well.
Yeah.
So you've talked in the past about being unsure whether you want to go for number four.
I know.
Have you decided that three is three and three is chaos and three is enough? Or is there a little bit of you that's thinking, well, go on then?
I'd say I 100% decided before Christmas that three was enough. Like, I couldn't have been more sure. I was getting ready to get rid of everything. I was going to go through all the clothes and start, like, because that's my idea, to give everything away. And then for some reason in, like, February, I was like, maybe. Like, I can't fully make that decision. But I'm not a good pregnant person. I feel I'm so, so sick. I have to sleep. The thoughts of that are really difficult, because I literally had to sleep sitting up because I would just feel so ill the whole time. So I don't know.
You get that thing that if you smell something that you smelled when you were pregnant and sick, you can't, even now, 9 years since I've been pregnant, if I smell Neutrogena grapefruit hand face wash,
really?
I'm like proper green.
Oh, no.
And garlic as well. I haven't been able to eat garlic since I was pregnant 9 years ago.
Oh, I'd miss garlic now, yeah. I have to say. I think certain things with my cravings that I would have, I don't want to eat anymore. But I don't know. I think that I was just so sick, I couldn't start cancelling out foods. I just remember Spenny when I was pregnant and I was very sick, and Spenny was doing this like meal delivery, and you know those ones that are like calorie controlled, when he was getting ready to do some fitness thing, and the smell of them, I couldn't actually, I would literally have to leave the room. I'd be like, please put the microwave downstairs. I can't have it anywhere near me. So those kind of things, yeah, I would avoid.
But that would be really hard with three, wouldn't it? Because you're kind of out of the picture a bit when you're that sick. There's not much you can do apart from lay in bed and rock quietly.
The desperate moaning, and you can't stop. You're just like, I'm so sick. And it's like, shut up. After a while, you just want to, you're like, shut up. But you can't stop.
I don't know
is the answer. I love the idea of four kids, and like, the three of them are such great little friends, but I'd say that Theodore and Otto are definitely, they go off and play together a lot. And I'm like, oh, I'd love a little sister for Gigi, but I don't know. I don't know yet.
It's such a hard decision to make. And you're turning 40 in October. Does that play into the thinking about whether to go ahead and do it or not?
I feel like it kind of feels like it's now or never, like within the next while, or it's not going to happen. And I think if it happened, great. If it didn't, I'd still be absolutely thrilled that we have three kids. But I just can't imagine the exhaustion of being older with four kids. That's why I'm kind of like, do it while you've got a bit of energy. I know a man who ended up who had gotten the snip and ended up having a child at the age of 62. His wife was obviously a lot younger. 60.
Wow.
Imagine how tired you'd be. And he's a really full hands-on dad. So he was just like knackered.
So how do you feel about the 40 birthday? Is there going to be some massive party?
I've actually realised that, like, I seem like I might be a bit of an attention seeker, but I actually, the idea of having like loads of people, like 50 people at a party, it makes me feel a little bit uncomfortable. So I'm not really sure what I want to do. I'd love to have like something at my house in Ireland, like just small, nothing, like, I just want to have really relaxed vibes and nothing too wild or chaotic, I think. Whereas like 10 years ago, I was like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to have all these people here. And I'm like, no way.
Yeah, there's a big difference between party for 30 and party for 40.
Oh, big time. Yeah. Maybe someone will throw me a surprise. That would sort everything out for me.
Spencer, are you listening?
It's not. I've been putting that in there.
Would you like that? Like, would you not have the fear of God in you if you walked into a room and everyone was there looking at you, shouting surprise?
No, I actually wouldn't like that. I'd feel really uncomfortable, but I'd like it in a way, because that would mean that would be something that I wouldn't have to do.
This is it. This
someone is else it. Could organise it, and then that would be something off my list.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Now, you've said that you were tough work for your parents growing up. I hear that you were suspended twice from your Catholic school. Are your kids much easier to raise, or is karma coming back to bite you?
There's certain things that they do that I'm like Theodore, because he's six now, he does stuff to try and wind us up. And I'm like, I remember doing that. Like, I remember just like humming really loudly, like my dad would take us to and I was too old for this crap. I must have been like 17, and I'd be like 40 minutes in the car down to Scary's just trying to see if I can annoy him. But he never cracked. My dad never cracked.
God help you when they're teenagers. If that's what he, if they're going to be like you and he's already doing that at 6 or 7. No.
I was horrendous. I deserve whatever's coming to me. I was so bad.
Your mum must be rubbing her hands with glee watching this unfold.
Yeah, well, like, even when I'm writing stuff down in my book that I'm putting together, like, I'm like, God, I cannot believe I did that, because things are coming back to me and I'm like, oh, that was actually really bad. But I think I was the worst out of the family of four kids.
Now, your book, Big Mouth, comes out in May, as we've mentioned, and you've just mentioned writing some bits and pieces for it. And you've said that when you're writing it, you've thought, I'm definitely not normal. And actually,
yeah,
humming in the car for 40 minutes. But what other things, as you were writing it, made you think I'm not normal? Go on, tell us.
That's what I wanted to call the book to begin with. I was going to call it, I thought I was normal until I wrote it all down. Because just some of the stuff, like some of the stuff my sister and I used to do to each other when we were younger, we would spend our days like writing these lists of things that we would go and do. Like on a Saturday morning, we're going to wake up. We're going to play Mommies and Daddies. Then we're going to find that dog, Jason, and feed it. Then we're going to go swimming in the swamp.
Like Jason, that's a good dog name.
We thought he was a stray. He was not a stray. We used to do we used to go around carol singing and stuff, like collecting money for charity until some woman had told us that she thought we were stealing the money for ourselves. We hadn't thought about stealing yet at that age. So, and just even like writing about my older years and just like, I'm so glad I'm still alive. I don't know how I got here.
I think maybe all of us are a bit like that though. I definitely think back to things I did at about 17 and think, nah, you should.
No.
And we like up in a field next to a bottle of vodka and thinking,
not great.
That was a good idea.
I remember our first time trying tequila, me and all my friends, we decided we were going to get half a bottle each. So we all just got all the, I never had tequila before in my life. It didn't end well. What were we thinking?
If any of our children are listening to this, obviously this is all completely fiction. This didn't happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We're too young to hear it yet.
And binge drinking isn't good for you folks. Just putting that out there.
No, definitely not. Drinking's bad.
But Spencer's famously given up alcohol, hasn't he? Which, how has that impacted you guys and your relationship? Do you still have a glass of wine or two?
Well, Spenny, like, he gave up alcohol completely for 2 years and now he drink on occasion. But I actually don't like the taste of alcohol. My friend Joanne says it's my superpower because I would never, ever think of having a glass of wine because I just don't like the taste of it. If I was thinking of having a, like, my thing is fizzy drinks. So like if, like, you sit down after a hard day, you have a glass of wine. I sit down after a hard day, I'm like, will I have a second Pepsi Max or is that really bad? that's my thing that I love having. So
party animal.
But I binge drink. So I know you were saying, and I know binge drinking is bad, but because I drink, I like the effects of alcohol. I don't like the after effects, but I enjoy like socializing with friends and getting a little bit merry, and I'll do that every so often. But then I'll have like, let's say 6 or 7 drinks, and I'm like, I am never drinking again. So that's kind of how that's how it rolls.
Sounds familiar. Now, finally, Vogue, you grill other celebrities on their most embarrassing moment on your podcast. What is your ultimate, I want the ground to swallow me up moment been?
God, there's so many. Like, there's like, I feel like I was outside T school and there's a guy, a security guy, I suppose he is, and he works in the school, and he was like, I was listening to your podcast, and I was like, oh, I was like, which one? And he was like, my therapist ghosted me. And I was like, oh God. I just was like, the things that I say on that, like, I think I'm more or less an open book. But the whole thing with Never Live It Down Pod is because I think people, like, it's less about feeling embarrassed about what you've done. And it's kind of then you're owning it. So you're like, by owning it, you're less embarrassed. And like, let's be honest, we do embarrassing stuff all the time. And I think it's like it's less shameful than it is when you're like, when you do something really embarrassing, when you're 16, 17, you feel like you're going to die. It's so bad. And actually, when you think about it, like when you do something now, it's like, oh God, oh well, I've just waved at somebody who I thought was somebody else and they didn't wave back. And you're like, ah, I've done that to famous people. I hate that.
No.
Yeah. I've done
that. Yeah, that's the thing.
who have you done it to? Go on, folk. Who have you waved at?
I have a real random one that I did it to. I was in Zara, and this is back when Peter Andre and his wife had a reality show together. And I'd been watching it, and I saw her in Zara, and I was literally like furiously waiting. And then I was like, oh God, I don't know her. I did it on Sharon Horgan at the BAFTAs. Because I love her so much. And I was like, oh my God, shut up, folks. Stop. It's too late. I get really shy around really famous people that I really admire. And I'd actually rather not be in their company or like have to talk to them because I get to like Graham Norton or something like that. I'm like, oh God, what am I going to say to Graham Norton? Please marry me. Be my best friend forever.
I think we'd all say that to Graham Norton.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Vogue, thank you so much. This has been the most fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And it has been our pleasure to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me. I loved this.
Don't forget, you can get in touch with us on all social channels, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Just type in Knitmums and you'll find us. And if you liked what you've heard today, we'd love for you to give us a 5-star rating, press the follow button and share the podcast on all your socials.